Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. Hello, welcome to another episode of Marketing Tips for Translators. How are you today? I hope your new year has started well. It has started really well for me, and I'm so glad and very grateful for all of you tuning in today and for all of you who have been loyal listeners for a long time. I can't believe we have over 230 episodes already. Thank you also for all your emails and reviews, etc. It's truly what keeps me going with this podcast. It's a lot of work, it's a lot of money, but your feedback is what keeps me going. So thank you. Today, I want to answer some of my listeners and subscriber questions. Thank you for submitting them to me. This is going to be an Ask Me Anything answer session. This episode will focus on content marketing, online credibility, and LinkedIn. So let's dive in. The first question comes from Paolo De Freya. He says, I am actually trying to implement a content marketing strategy, but it isn't always easy to find what to talk about or what media to use. What's your suggestion to implement a content media or content marketing strategy and how to plan it for 2020? So it is true that traditional marketing is becoming less and less effective by the minute. And as a forward thinker, freelancer, you know there has to be another or better way too. And then enter content marketing. So content marketing is a strategic marketing approach focused on creating and distributing valuable, relevant, and consistent content to attract and retain a clearly defined audience and ultimately to drive profitable customer action. So in order to find the right content, you need to know exactly who you want to target and how you can help them, what they are interested in, what their problems are, etc. So if you have a good customer avatar, it will be easier to find great content for them. There are some basic rules in content marketing to consider when you use it. It is a long-term strategy, first of all. It takes time to attract clients online, but once you succeed, it can become a fairly passive strategy. You need your own domain name and website. The content you create needs to live on a domain that you control yourself using a platform that you own yourself. That doesn't mean that you can't share it on social media, but you need your own platform too. You also need to, like I said earlier, really need understand who you want to target and how you can help them. And when you know that, it's easier to find the content. You need to make the content findable too by using SEO techniques and sharing it to a wider audience on social media and perhaps by guest posting. So if you feel that you know the basics of content marketing, then it can be a very useful tool to attract ideal clients to you. If you are ready to get started, I shared earlier in episode or no, actually, I think it was a newsletter or blog post, 5-step checklist to help you create and promote your client attracting content. So I will have a link in the show notes where you can download this free checklist for you with the 5 steps and lots of tips on how to use content marketing. And another thing to pay attention to is that marketing is impossible without great content. Regardless of what marketing method you do use, not only for content marketing, it should be part of a process and not something separate. Quality content is part of all forms of marketing, part of your social media strategy, part of your SEO, part of your PR, part of the inbound marketing. I try to use content marketing as much as possible, considering my own time limits, by posting a valuable client post on LinkedIn and my website once a month, for example. I don't have much of a strategy yet myself, other than trial and error. However, I have seen results from both LinkedIn and my website in new contacts and prospects. I will also include a link to a content marketing resource guide that you might find valuable. This is somebody else that have created it. You can get it by clicking on the link in the show notes. So I hope you found these tips valuable. If you have any other questions, you can always email me or reach out to me by commenting in the show notes. The next question comes from Sebastian Witte, W-I-T-T-E, almost like my name. Hope I pronounced it correctly. How to stay credible, as in we deliver on our promises while still conveying the impression of having a proper service provider attitude, as in good customer service, understanding your needs in your online activities and marketing. And Sebastian says that he has seen many translators marketing themselves either too conservatively, coming across as not agile, pretty stationary, or marketing themselves with too much of a focus on making promises of good service, compromising on their reliability, credibility in the process. So Sebastian is asking how to strike the balance between the two poles and how to neither overpromise or underpromise in your marketing. So this is a great question. It doesn't have a short answer, but here is some tips that I have for you. I always encourage my students to provide proof of whatever they say online. And proof can be testimonials, referrals, showcasing your certification, education, etc. So that is one way to provide proof. A lot of websites that I analyze and help with, and profiles online, that for example says, I am a professional translator. I am a high quality translator. But how? How can you prove that? Otherwise, this is just words. Anybody can say that they're a professional translator or high quality translator. You can say it, but then explain how. That said, one of the key success factors for all freelancers is professionalism. You won't last long as a freelancer if you're not constantly focused on customer service, providing high quality translations, responding in a timely manner, confirming all communication as quickly as possible, following all the instructions, and being polite and courteous. So a combination of these two will help us stay credible and professional. Last question I will cover today comes from Isigul or Ikigul Elterman. He or she says, thank you for your email and past emails. I'm trying to simplify my life and want to delete my LinkedIn account with mostly irrelevant contacts, translators, interpreters, LSPs, for marketing purposes, and start fresh if that's possible. I cannot do anything with it in its current state, unfortunately. Otherwise, I have many companies to initiate contact or refresh past contact from years of working as an interpreter and a translator. Just need to do it when the time is available. Hopefully, we'll get to read some of your wonderful blog links from before. The ever-encroaching automation in our life, Alice, has actually increased the time required to complete routine processes that used to take a fraction of the time before automation, used mostly by the big agencies. So I think these are three issues, and I'm gonna try to address all three of them. So thank you, Esigol. I think what you're asking is about a LinkedIn strategy. Your proposed solution is one alternative, to delete it and start all over. I interviewed another fellow translator, Martina Russo, earlier last year, and she kept her account but started deleting her translator contacts and focusing on her direct clients and ideal clients as contacts. And I think this has been successful for her. I have not personally gone that route yet, because it is a valuable strategy to focus only on your ideal clients. But I still target both translation buyers and freelance translators for my profile. So you would have to make the decision yourself how you want to go about it, if you want to delete the account completely and start all over, or if you want to delete people in part of your contacts and add new ones, etc. I did a Facebook Live in the beginning of January on how to find prospects on LinkedIn, and you can try to work with the basic version of LinkedIn, but every year I activate premium for 1 month to use the Sales Navigator. Usually I do this in January because that's usually a slower month for me when it comes to translation jobs. And I kind of like to start off the year fresh with new prospects and leads. So I activate Sales Navigator because you can use their algorithm and it takes you through a process to find leads. For example, I used my current ideal clients as sample companies for the algorithm to find similar ones. I will also put a link to the Sales Navigator in the show notes. You can try it out for free if you've never tried it for a month. So you can always activate it for a month and see what you think and then deactivate it. I usually activate it for a month or two per year and pay for it. And I think it's worth the money. It includes, you get 20 in-mail messages per month, 1,500 saved leads. You can see all the people that have viewed your profile. You have extended LinkedIn network access. You can do an advanced lead and company search. You get recommendations. You can customize different lead lists or client lists. You can set it for different territories or geographic locations. You can get alerts. You can integrate it with your email account. You can add notes and tags. And you can also do all of this through the phone. You also say that you have many companies that you can contact already. You just need to find time to do it. And that's really great if you have contacts already. The hard reality is that the time will usually never come when we have lots of time to do prospecting. It's usually better to schedule in your client outreach activities and treat them as regular job or projects with deadlines. That's the only way that has worked for me. I know in the beginning I only did my marketing when I didn't have any translation jobs, but if you want to do regular marketing, I suggest scheduling it in even if you are busy translating. This is easiest done with a plan, with concrete action steps, and then actually doing the action, scheduling the action. One of my business mentors says, action brings clarity, and that is so true. Action also brings you results. For my own sake, I schedule in a little bit of marketing every morning before I start with my translation work. If I try to save the marketing work until later in the day after I'm done with the translation work usually takes up all that time and I just end up postponing it. It usually doesn't get done. Other tricks I do is to invest in a course to do the market research, or when I invested in the LinkedIn Premium, for example, I'm more likely to actually use it every day since I have paid money for it. That's how it works for me. I have more skin in the game. And finally, you're talking about the automation, and I think you're talking about project management systems from clients. that often increase the time it takes for us to actually start with the income-bringing translation work. For this, I have no good solution other than experience and age has made me more selective. I have run into these complicated project management and invoicing systems too. I usually analyze how long everything takes to see and see if it's worth per client and per system. And then I actually create a list of clients to avoid working for, or I try to charge extra for the extra time it takes. And then I focus on my marketing to go out and find others that have easier systems to work with. So I hope you found this information valuable. If you have any questions, or if anybody else have any questions on any of these topics today, feel free to email me or comment in the show notes. If you have any feedback, questions, or requests, I also would love to hear from you. This podcast is made for you to help you with your freelance translation career. So do reach out. And if you like this episode, please subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app. You can leave me a review and share this episode. The easiest way to get all the links I talked about, to leave a review, to share it, etc., is to go to marketingtipsfortranslators.com. So thank you again for listening. I hope you found it valuable. Have a great week, and I will see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app or to share the episode with other colleagues. Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@marketingtipsfortranslators.com.